I am the ascended master Gautama Buddha, and I come to give you some insights into one of the changes that can help bring not only Korea, but Asia in general into the golden age. Now, my beloved, we are very happy that the messenger gave the talk that he gave and that he was able to give it to an audience who actually understood what he was saying. We, of course, accept all of you for who you are right now. And we would like nothing more than to see you also accept yourselves as being students on the path, and therefore enjoy walking the path, enjoy being alive, enjoy being in embodiment while you are in embodiment, instead of coming to the end of your life and perhaps even ascending and then realizing that you did not fully take advantage of the opportunity to be an embodiment because you did not quite enjoy life. And you did not enjoy life because you could not accept yourselves for who you are. As the messenger said, it is perfectly correct that the fallen beings have attempted to create a situation where nobody can accept themselves, for they always think they have to be someone else. Yet what you also see in many societies is that they have found a way to compensate for this. And so if you have a society where no one is accepting themselves for who they are, and therefore everyone is feeling a certain sense of dissatisfaction and misery, how do people cope with that situation? Many people cope with it by accepting their lot in life. They accept that they are peasants or workers or ordinary people, and that they could never really attain being more than that. And once you accept this, then you can, in a strange way, live with it, because after all, nobody else in your group of people can do any better than you. And so if everyone is equally miserable, then most people can feel like their misery, after all, isn't so bad. Yet you also see another segment in most societies that are coping with their lack of acceptance of themselves in a different way, by setting themselves up as being special compared to other people. They are the ones who feel that they belong to a special segment of society that is in some way raised above the general population, the peasants, the workers, the ordinary people. When you look at the history of this planet, you can see that this has been one of the main characteristics of almost every society. Now, we have said, of course, that the fallen beings have, from the very moment they fell and even before, in many cases, had the desire to set themselves up as being above and beyond others. And so the tendency to want to create a class in society that is beyond the majority of the population originates with the fallen beings. But this does not mean that everyone who is a member of some special segment of society is necessarily a fallen being, because many people have been trapped into the fallen consciousness and are therefore also seeking to set themselves up as being special. They are seeking to belong to a special class and feel they are above and beyond others. Now, the way they do this is often to portray that this class has some special abilities or special characteristics. Throughout the ages, many different philosophical systems have been used to justify this stratification, the segmentation of society into the upper class and the lower class. It can be religion, and has been religion in many cases. It can be a political philosophy. It can even be scientific materialism, as you see in the world today, that some think they are just more fit than others, even though they rarely go to the gym and exercise. And so, my beloved, you see all kinds of excuses for this. And when you look at the outer justification for why these people are special, if you believe what they are saying, then you would think that these people must be feeling good about themselves and their position in society. They must be feeling that they really are better than others. And I will grant you that there are many among this upper class who actually have drunk their own Kool-Aid, and they feel and believe that they have some special characteristic that makes them better than other people. But this is only at a surface level of their consciousness. It is because they are in a state of delusion, a state of denial, where they do not look deeply enough into their psychology to see that they are actually completely miserable because they do not accept themselves either. We might say that the outer sense that they are better than others simply serves to cover over their inner misery so they can live with it without seeing it, just as you see those among the lower class who have also found a way to cover over their inner misery so they do not see it with their normal waking consciousness. And so you realize that in Asia in general, there has been a long tradition of having these societies with a very privileged upper class, and all other people would, so to speak, act in a very humble, submissive manner around the upper class. You can see remnants of this in many Asian nations in the way they respond to authority, even in the way people treat each other, where they often bow deeply and feel, therefore, that they have to submit especially to people who are in leadership or authoritarian positions. We, of course, desire you, who are the spiritual students, to rise above this consciousness and accept yourselves for who you are, and accept that regardless of what position people hold in society, you can feel good about yourselves inside, as was expressed earlier by one of our daughters. You can follow the party line on the outside and do what you need to do to survive in the system, but inside yourself you can acknowledge who you are and acknowledge your worth. But nevertheless, there is also a need in Asian countries that people will come to an awareness that this division of society into upper and lower simply cannot stand in the Aquarian age. You cannot build a golden age society if you have an upper class and a lower class. It will not be the upper class that builds a golden age society, for they cannot tune in to the consciousness of Saint Germain. How can they tune in to the God of freedom when they have no freedom in their own beings and they are not willing to give that freedom to those who are below them in society? And so you need to shift your own awareness, and you need to make the calls that people become more aware of this mechanism of dividing society up into those who are the upper class and the lower class. They become aware of why this has happened. They become aware that it is outdated and that people need to look at it and talk about it openly and create a different culture. One of the things that you see in many Asian countries, Korea included, is that only those who belong to the right families will get a good education and a good position in the work market. You will see many companies who are, first of all, looking at a person's family background before they hire them for any higher position. My beloved, what sense does it make from a business perspective that you hire somebody to a given position because of his family background without evaluating whether he actually has the knowledge, the abilities, or the personality to fulfill that position in a satisfactory manner? Do you realize, my beloved, that there is a reason why many Asian companies cannot bring forth new inventions and new technology as you see certain countries in the West are doing? If you ask yourself, my beloved, why this huge corporation named Samsung has to copy the products brought forth by Apple, you can see that the reason is quite simple. Despite the size, despite the money, despite the resources that Samsung has, it is obviously not able to hire the kind of people that are creative enough to bring forth new innovative products. It needs to copy others. And why is that, my beloved? It is in large part because of the culture I am talking about, where you hire people based on their family background, not based on their creativity or other abilities. When you begin to realize this, you can see that this influences not only Korean society, but many Asian societies in many ways. Some are obvious, some are very subtle. But I can assure you that for Asia to rise to the level of the Golden Age consciousness, this culture needs to be transcended so that there is a willingness to look at the soul, look at the person, and that person's inherent abilities and characteristics rather than the outer characteristics. One of the things that also needs to be dealt with is, of course, the attitude towards women in Asian societies. You will see that it may be so that you have to be from a good family in order to get a higher position in big companies in Asia. But you have to add that you not only have to be from a good family, you also have to be male in order to get a good position. And again, this is one of the reasons why many Asian companies are lagging behind, because there is no guarantee that men are the most creative. And in many cases, the new innovative ideas can only be brought forth through women. This, however, is also a problem you find in the West, but that is a topic for another day. So you see, of course, that there has been a long tradition in this part of the world for suppressing those who are deemed as belonging to the lower classes, those who are not the important people. But even within the so-called upper class, there has been a tradition for suppressing women, not allowing them to bring forth their creativity, their organizational talents, their perspective, their contribution to society. We might say that you can look at society and say that there is an upper class and a lower class based on family background, but you can also look at there is an upper class consisting of men from a certain family background, and there is a lower class consisting of women, regardless of their family background. You need to recognize, as we have said, that a soul, a life stream, is not exclusively male or female, but will embody in different physical bodies in different lifetimes. You are not always male in a male body, you are not always female. And therefore, if you want to find the people who are best suited for filling a certain position in a company or in society, you need to look at the characteristics of the soul, the inner characteristics of the soul. Now, my beloved, from a purely rational business perspective, this should be rather obvious. It should actually be possible that business leaders, for example, in Korea, would have looked at why we are behind Western companies in innovation and what we can do to close the gap. It should have been possible that we would have come to the conclusion that we need to look for people who have special abilities within their own beings rather than looking at certain outer characteristics and assuming that people from a good family will be more creative or better leaders. So you might ask yourself why they have not come to this conclusion. Is it just because they are not smart enough? Is it because they are not intelligent enough? Or is there some other reason? Well, the reason is what other masters have already mentioned, that Asia has a long tradition for valuing the state or the corporation higher than the individual. The individual has not been looked upon as having inherent value, having inherent resources, inherent abilities and characteristics. There has been a tendency to think that if there is a given position that needs to be filled, then it can be filled by almost anybody, or at least there are many people who could fill that position. Therefore, neither the state nor corporations have allowed themselves to feel that they need to pay particular attention to the individual, except, of course, when it comes to the supreme leader. But even there, you see, as you have seen in many countries and as you see in North Korea today, that the son of the previous leader becomes the next leader, whether he is suited for the position or not, and whether he actually wants it or not. And so, when you do not value the individual, when you do not value human beings, how can you shift away from this culture that is so focused on family and outer characteristics? Therefore, the shift that really needs to happen is the shift that the messenger talked about, that you begin to value each other, see each other as equals, and value each other for who you are as individuals. You value, you appreciate differences. Why was the messenger able to give this talk? Because he has an audience who has also, for most of you, come to this awareness that you want to relate to each other in a different way. You would rather relate to each other as equals than having this division between those who are above and those who are below. And this is your potential to have an impact on society when you accept this consciousness in yourself, when you speak out, and of course when you make the calls. For surely it will be very, very difficult to change this very, very old and very, very ingrained consciousness. Now, when I say it will be very difficult, it is, of course, relative. For as we have said many times, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But nevertheless, we have also said that there needs to be a shift in people's consciousness before we can use our power. There needs to be a growing awareness, a shift in awareness where you begin to accept yourselves for who you are, accept each other for who you are, and you begin to relate to each other in a different way. My beloved, we are not looking to create any kind of movement here that repeats the patterns we have seen so often in the Piscean Age, where even spiritual movements have a division between an upper class and a lower class, and there are people who see themselves as being better than others, and other people who accept themselves as being below the leaders. This is not what we desire to see happen. And so when you transcend this consciousness in yourselves, then your calls have more power, and you will do what the messenger said. You will give people an example that it is different to it is possible to relate to each other in a different way. What is the shift that needs to happen in society? It is that you recognize that the purpose of life, the purpose of a society, is to serve people, to serve their growth in consciousness, to give people an opportunity to express their inherent qualities, their creativity, their experience, their abilities. If a society gives those people who have developed the highest abilities in previous lives the opportunity to express them in this life, then that society will prosper. If a corporation attracts people that have abilities, if it values those abilities, if it gives them an opportunity to express those abilities, then that corporation will prosper. But for this to happen, it needs to be seen that the purpose of the society is to serve people. The purpose of the corporation is to serve the people who are working in the corporation, not to create greater and greater profit for a small number of shareholders who are not actually contributing to the corporation because they only own the stock and take in the dividends. Do you see, my beloved, that in the Golden Age there will be an entirely new corporate structure where those who are directly involved with making the corporation work will be seen as the major purpose for the functioning of the corporation? It is not even the purpose of a Golden Age corporation to make money. It is the purpose to serve the people who work for the corporation. But of course, you do this by serving the people who are using the corporation's products or services. And this is a dramatic shift that, of course, has not happened in the West yet either, except for rare exceptions. And we are aware that it is not likely to happen in Asia first, but there is still value in stating that this is part of the Golden Age matrix. And you can make the calls that the societies in Asia will begin to value the individual, the human being, and will see that the purpose of a society is to serve its own people. What would be the purpose of this nation of Korea? Would it be to allow a small elite to become more and more rich? Do you not see that the countries who allow this, they build an elite who starts to feel that they are not loyal to the country that has given them their privileged position. Look at how many corporations around the world have become multinational corporations. Because when you attract the kind of people who are seeking unlimited power or unlimited riches, then nothing, as it says in the invocation you gave earlier, is enough for them. No amount of power is enough. No amount of profit is enough. There is no country in the world who can give enough to the people who have an insatiable desire for power or money. Even such a big nation as the United States has not been able to give enough wealth and power to the corporations, so its own corporations have become multinational. And the more multinational they become, the less loyal they are to their mother nation and the people of that nation. And do you not already see that here in Korea with some of the biggest corporations? And so is that really the purpose of a nation, to give such a privileged position to a small elite who are not loyal to the nation or to the people in that nation? Look at how many times a corporation has decided to move production to another company where they can get cheaper labor and thereby send tens of thousands of people into unemployment. And now the nation that allowed this corporation to become so big now stands back with a problem that they have to deal with, and the corporation does not care whatsoever. Is that really a model that you want to repeat over and over and over again here in Korea and in other nations in Asia and elsewhere? So you need to make the calls for a shift here, and you need to make the calls for the judgment of this consciousness of the privileged elite that has no loyalty to their nation or to the people who have served as the workers that allowed their corporation to grow to that size. My beloved, you need to recognize that the fallen beings have no loyalty whatsoever to any human being. But you also need to realize that the fallen beings are constantly demanding loyalty from human beings. They are constantly demanding of others what they are not willing to give themselves. And this is a consciousness that needs to be judged, it needs to be exposed, and people need to make the choice that we will no longer submit to this matrix. We will no longer submit to this upper class of people who demand loyalty from us but give nothing back. And therefore, we demand a society that does not allow this upper class and that does not give privileges and loyalty to an upper class, but instead gives loyalty to the population, to the people, and allows all of the people to share in the wealth of the nation without allowing a small elite to have these special privileges. It is not an Aquarian Age matrix. It is not a matrix that is sustainable in the Aquarian Age. And you will see that those countries who cannot transcend this matrix will fall behind, and those corporations who cannot transcend this matrix will fall behind. Why is this so, my beloved? It is so because Saint Germain will release entirely new types of technology that he has talked about before and will talk about again, that are based on an entirely different mindset, that is not force-based technology. But do you think that any company that is led by a power elite of fallen beings or people trapped in the fallen consciousness will be able to tune into Saint Germain and receive this technology? Nay, my beloved, for they would only look for new technology if they could monopolize it and use it to cement their position. They would not look at new technology for the purpose of serving the people and setting the people free. And so how can they tune in to the God of freedom and receive these new innovative products and technologies that he is waiting to release. These technologies can be released only to people who are very creative and whose minds are open in a way that cannot be cultivated in the traditional corporate structure or even in the way the educational systems are set up in most people, in most countries. You will see that in many Asian nations, first of all, there is a division of the educational system with the privileged schools for the finer families and the general schools for the broader people. But even within all of the educational establishments, there is this focus on getting good grades by performing according to a certain standard that is based on learning things by heart, memorizing, being able to repeat what you have been told. But it is not important whether the students have integrated the knowledge, whether it has become part of their beings, and whether they can use it creatively in their work. Do you not see that this blind focus on outer performance and outer knowledge and memorization is mechanical in nature? It is robotic. It is turning out people who do not think creatively, regardless of how much they know about specific concrete topics. How can such people receive innovative ideas that are so far beyond existing technologies? How can they think outside the box when they have been brought up their entire lives to fit themselves into the box that has been defined for them by others, by society, by the privileged elite, by the fallen consciousness? How can those trapped in a mental box defined by the fallen consciousness tune into Saint Germain and receive new ideas and new technology? It cannot be done, my beloved. Does that mean that no Asian nation can be a forerunner in technology and innovation? No, it does not, for there are souls who have volunteered to embody in this part of the world, and certainly many of them are in South Korea, precisely because they are creative souls and they want to help bring this part of the world forward. But where is the opening for them in the current structure of the educational system, the institutions of society, and the corporations? Where, my beloved, where are they valued? Where would they be allowed to bring forth a creative idea? So you see, this needs to change. The awareness needs to change. And there need to be a growing awareness of the value of the individual person who is able to bring forth an idea that nobody else can bring forth in that particular situation, in that particular society. There are people in Korea who are fully capable of bringing forth the ideas that will bring Korea into the golden age. These people are able to listen to the ascended masters and receive the idea. But where is the opening where society is willing to listen to these people? And so how shall the ideas be brought forth? And what will happen if the ideas are not brought forth? Well, the same idea will, of course, be released throughout the planet. And if there are societies that are willing to listen to their creative individuals, then those societies will implement the new ideas and will therefore leap ahead. There has been a tendency in Asia to focus on producing either high volumes of products or high quality of products and refining them based on the existing matrix. But my beloved, there is a certain limit to how much you can refine a car, how much you can refine a gasoline or diesel engine. You can make it more efficient, but only within a certain limit. And so there comes a point where society needs to make a leap to a different kind of transportation technology. And so if a country, if a corporate structure is focused only on improving what has already been invented, then there will come a point where this society reaches the limit for how much a certain technology can be improved. And therefore, there's a limit to how much the society and the corporations can grow. Do you not already see this very clearly in Japan? Where there was a time when Japan had a leadership position in the world economics because of their ability to turn people into robots that could produce high numbers of very uniform products. But why has Japan and the Japanese economy started to decline? It is because they have reached the limit and they cannot grow further by continuing this mechanical robotic approach to people and production and the corporate structure. And the same, of course, you are already beginning to see in other nations, including Korea. There is a limit to how much you can improve a mobile phone or a computer and add new value. But of course, you can think outside the box and come up with a product that can do something that existing products cannot do. But how can you do this if there is no opening to receive the idea or to implement the idea? And so you see, my beloved, I have often been seen as the Buddha, and many people in this world has come to see the Buddha as a static being who provides stability. Therefore, you might be surprised to hear me speak about growth and change. But this is because there has been a long tradition of superimposing an image on the Buddha that is not the fullness of the Buddha. What is the essence of the teaching I gave 2,500 years ago? It is that everything is the Buddha nature. But what is the Buddha nature? Is the Buddha nature static? Nay, the Buddha nature is the river of life, which is constantly transcending itself. And so if you create the image that the Buddha is a static being who provides stability and wants the society to be stable and unchanging, then you have misunderstood the very nature of the Buddha nature. You have denied your own Buddha nature, for when you see the Buddha nature in yourself, that is, when you are tuning into the river of life, that is actually when you can fully accept yourself for who you are, my beloved, as the messenger explained. But we can take what he said a step further by realizing that when you begin to see the Buddha nature in yourself and see that the Buddha nature is not static, that is when you can fully accept yourself as you are. For you accept that who you are right now is an expression of the Buddha nature. But of course, the Buddha nature will continue to transcend itself, and that is why you become more, and that is why you will not be the same in a year or 10 years or even a week or a day or a second. My beloved, seeing the Buddha nature in yourself and seeing that the Buddha nature is not a state of perfection but a state of constant flow, of constant change, as we have mentioned that the Tibetan Buddhists, or at least some among them, have seen, That is the key to accepting yourself. Only when you accept yourself as part of the ongoing change that is the river of life, can you fully accept yourself and allow yourself to be who you are, and allow yourself to be who you will be, to become what you will become in the next moment. You can allow yourself to flow with the river of life without being trapped in tradition, without being trapped in loyalty to your ancestors, to your leaders, to your political or religious system, without being loyal to what has been, but always being willing to become more in the ongoing process that truly is the Buddha nature. For the Buddha nature is constant self-transcendence by constant self-observation of recognizing, this is what I am now, but more is possible, and I want what is more. And therefore, I shift my sense of who I am into the more. And that is how I tune in to the Buddha, and I flow with the Buddha as truly the Buddha is becoming more constantly. I am an ever-moving, transcending being. I have never been a static being, worshipping a golden statue that does not change, and thinking that the Buddha that it represents does not change, is a fundamental misunderstanding of the teachings that I gave 2,500 years ago. Thinking that the Buddha today is the same as I was 2,500 years ago is a fundamental misunderstanding and a failure to tune in to who I am today. For I have transcended myself an infinite number of times in the past 2,500 years, and I will continue to transcend myself an infinite number of times, every second, every split second, every division of the second that you possibly create. I will transcend myself an infinite number of times, whereby I mean that no division you could create in the finite world can ever hold the Buddha. For I am always more, as that is the essence of the Buddha nature.